Tonight I want to share with you the truths that God has been showing me. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background because it's really important to understand. The book of 1 Corinthians was written as a book of correction. The church at Corinth was really doing a bunch of stuff that was not honoring to God. And the Apostle Paul is correcting them. He's trying to help them get things straightened out. Do sometimes we need some correction? Yeah, we do. We do. I'll tell you what. I appreciate the fact that my wife is willing to look me right square in the eye and go, "What are you doing?" Because sometimes I need that. I do. And I try to return the favor. Sometimes it's, "Honey..." No, I'm just kidding. It's really not. My wife loves me, and I love her, and she helps me. I praise the Lord pretty much our whole marriage. When my wife has found something in the Scripture that she enjoyed, she shared it with me. And I love that. I wish I could say I've done the same for her. I just never really done that, and I feel bad. You hold me to account. I'll try to change that. All right, let's get started here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd meet here with us tonight. Lord, I ask that you would help me to proclaim the truth that you'd have proclaimed tonight. Lord, we need your help. We need you to speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, each one of us have different needs tonight, and we ask that they'd be met through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we read through the scripture, there is one theme that is constant, and you cannot get away from it in the scripture. And that's love. It's the love of God toward you and I. It doesn't matter where you go in the scripture. You know what you're going to find? God loves you. God loves you. And he cares so much for you that he gave everything for you. Now, I'll tell you, I love you, but there's things that I will not give up for you. You know why? My love is not that sincere. You say, "Pastor Steve, why would you say that from the pulpit. Because I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. I'm not. But you know what? This should help us. This entire chapter, what is the focus? It's charity. And what is charity? Charity is love in action. It's love being produced. It's the adjective, the action of love. Now, I love this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know what? I don't know if you've ever been around anybody who is learning how to play a musical instrument, but it is not the most pleasant thing to be around. Three of my boys have picked up the trumpet. They've learned to play or learned or learning to play the trumpet. And then my daughter also learned to play the trumpet. Oh, no, you didn't. It was Stephen, Daniel, Timothy. Oh, Micah picked it up for a while. That's right. And Christy learned to play the clarinet. Now, I'll tell you what. Any one of those not played correctly, after just a very short time, gets very irritating. I am very thankful that none of my kids decided to play the drums. I really am. One of my friends, when I was in school, picked up playing the drums. And I'll tell you what, that kid drove me nuts. Because he had a set of drumsticks in his pocket all the time. He came over to my house one afternoon to play, pulled out an old Sears catalog, and sat there with his drumsticks and beat out some tunes. The whole time I'm going, stop. Just stop. But you know what? Without charity that it's talking about here, that's the way we are. We're irritating. We're frustrating. We're hard to be around. That's what this is talking about. It says, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I become irritating. I become frustrating. People don't want to be around me. You have a hard time gaining friends? Why don't you try practicing charity? It's a biblical principle. It's right here. It's pretty clear. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You know, the Bible says that if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could look at that mountain and say, remove thyself. And you know what it would do? It would move. Now, the principle behind that is, what is this one of the smallest seeds that we know of? A mustard seed. And what kind of a plant comes from a mustard seed? Great big stalk. Little tiny seed, but great big plant. You know what? What is this really telling us about our faith? What is this really telling us about our love? When we read through the Bible, it's not all glitz and glitter. Sometimes it's, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Something needs to change. I like to look at things this way. When I'm irritating people and I know they're irritating me, I mean, I know that I'm irritating them, I'm obviously doing something wrong. I am. Why? Because they're irritated. They're frustrated. So something along the line needs to change. I prefer to think it's them. No, I really don't. I know sometimes it's me. I need to change. You know what? That's what this is talking about. There needs to be a change. Though I have all these great things, by the way, I know I don't have all the knowledge. I know my faith isn't as strong as it ought to be. I know that I do not have all these mysteries figured out. But can I have this kind of love? Yeah, we all can. We all can. Jesus Christ showed this kind of love when he left heaven and died on that cross of Calvary and rose again for you and I. You know, I was doing a short study with our junior and senior high this morning out of the book of Job. We just took a short break out of our study of Joseph, and we just jumped into a one service study on the life of Job. And Job is saying, it would be better if I just wouldn't have been born. If I just hadn't even made it out of the womb. If I'd have died before I was born. Because he was suffering. He was going through some major trials. But you know what? His love for God kept him from ever turning his back on God. You know what? I can't even imagine. In the matter of minutes, he lost everything he owned. Everything. And I'm not just talking about what he owned, everything he loved. He lost his children, his animals, his servants. Everything gone within the matter of minutes. You say, Pastor Steve, that's a pretty bold statement. How can you say minutes? Because while one servant was standing there telling him that something was gone, what happened? Another one came and told him. And another one came and told him. You know what? You don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand the Word of God. That is one thing I love about the Word of God. You don't have to have somebody standing behind a pulpit to help you understand it. You can understand it. That doesn't mean don't come to church. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We need to be more involved. That's a challenge in and of itself. I don't know about you, but I've kind of noticed when pastor's gone, the attendance seems to dwindle. That's not a good thing. I'm glad that you're here tonight. You're faithful. That's good. Now, I appreciate the fact that, you know, Brother Greg stayed even after he found out I was preaching tonight. The Word of God is powerful. It's mighty. And we need it. You know, verse number 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Does it help those people that you help feed? Yeah. Yeah, it does. And maybe you took a punishment for somebody. You stood in the path and protected them. Does that help them? Well, yeah. But if you didn't do it in love, did it profit you at all? Not at all. That's what that just said. You know what? What we need to bring God honor and glory and still profit us with the things that God wants to profit us with? Charity. Love. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. You know, I could look at you and say, I love you. And I could be very sincere. And I could even, in my heart and mind, believe it. But you know what? If it's just words, is it real love? You know what? In James, the Word of God tells us over and over and over that faith without works is dead. We need to practice our faith. You know, I Just kind of jokingly, I was kind of looking around tonight when I said, okay, it's time to start. And I didn't see anybody walk up to their chair and go, okay. Nobody did that. A lot of people did this. You know what? Listen, maybe a poor example, maybe. But why were you willing to just almost fall into that chair? Because you believed it was going to hold you up. You know what? You can say that you love God, but unless God's love is flowing through you, do you really love God? Do you? You know what? Let's just go back there. Book of James. I was getting ready to quote a verse, and I felt like I was going to really mess it up. Book of James and chapter number 2. Oh, better get to James, not 2 Peter. And let's see. Verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You say something, show it. You say, yeah, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I want to serve him. Show it. Show it. You know what? There is a young man that I went to school with. He watched this championship wrestling stuff all the time. Now it's entertainment. It's not even called wrestling anymore. And, you know, he loved to run up behind you and jump up in the air and bring his elbow down on your shoulder and go, ah, elbow drop. And it would. It kind of drop you down. It hurt. He was a pretty big boy. And he walked up to me one day going into our PE class, and he grabbed me by the front of the shirt and he just shoved me back into the bleachers. You're saying, man, he was a bully. Well, yeah, he was. But I'll tell you what, the Lord allowed me to learn a very valuable lesson that day. You know what? He claimed to be my friend. But what was he showing me? He wasn't showing me that he was a friend. Because friends don't hurt each other. I remember a boy that used to come over and play all the time when I was little. I was in elementary school. And he had the coolest little slingshot that his dad made him. He had taken a Y limb off of a tree, and he had cut grooves around the top of it, and he had taken surgical rubber and taken it around there and then twisted wire around that to hold it into place. That was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. I thought that was pretty awesome. I thought, how come my dad never made me one of these? But you know what? I learned a very valuable lesson that day too. Because I pulled his back to shoot it, and that rubber slipped out from underneath that wire, and it slapped me in the hand. I had a welt that ran from this knuckle all the way around to the side of my hand. You know, I was pretty upset. That hurt. And here my little buddy, my friend, would take that, and he'd slap me on the back of the hand that I had the welt on. No pain, no gain. It doesn't hurt, it ain't getting better. What kind of a friend is that? You know what? A true friend is the kind of friend that comes up beside you, says, I love you, and they show it. They show it. They help you through that tough time. You know, God didn't use this word charity on accident here. It's on purpose. And it's for a purpose. For you and I. Let's move on into this passage. Down in verse number 8, it's a continuation here of what charity, this is where it really gets into what charity is. Charity never faileth, but where there is prophecy, they shall fail. I missed that. The list is above that. And then it says here in verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know what? We have that which is perfect.
Amen.
The Word of God. You know, we don't need God to speak to us in dreams. We don't need God to speak to somebody and then have them come prophesy to us. We have that which is perfect, the Word of God. But you know what the risk is when you have something all the time? We can become very complacent with it. It can lose its value to us because we have it all the time. I praise the Lord for one of the missionaries that we had come through our church. And he told me this story. He said there was a man that they were ministering to. And he had never had a copy of the Bible. Matter of fact, where they were, nobody really had a copy of the Bible. And they were distributing Bibles. They were giving them away. And in the excitement of the desire of having a copy of God's Word, he crumpled a page as he took it. He was hauled away to jail for crumpling the page of the Bible. I'll tell you what, this morning I was heartbroken. It was still morning. Over in junior church, getting things started, and some of those children have their Bibles. And I said, all right, you need to put everything under your chair because we were getting ready to sing. And this one kid held her Bible out, dropped it on the floor, took her heel, and slid it under her seat. Does she really care about the Word of God? You know what that is to her? Just a book. What is our job? To show the love of God. And sometimes showing the love of God is going to a child like that, looking them right square in the face and say, that is the Word of God. We don't treat it that way. You know what? That little girl didn't like me very well. But this is valuable.
Amen.
Amen.
And I hate to see it treated irreverently. It bothers me. You know what? I don't throw my Bible around. It means something to me. And I hope it does to you. And you know what? One day, I hope it is to that little girl. I really do. But it started out today with a little chastisement. She has to learn that that's not right. That's not acceptable. And when she really grasps what it says inside, it'll change her life. Verse number 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Catch this verse, verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, But then I shall know as also I am known. Isn't it going to be a great day for the saved person when we stand before Almighty God and we know as He knows? You know what? But there's a challenge that goes with that. We can know an awful lot here if we're willing to put in the effort to learn it. You know, the Bible tells us that we should be searching the Scriptures as a treasure. You know, I kind of get a tickle out of some of these people you hear about. These people that spend their whole lives trying to find Sasquatch, Bigfoot. These people that spend their whole lives searching for treasures that were supposedly on ships, or that supposedly where an aircraft went down and had a load of special coins or something, and they spend their whole lives searching for that. Why? Because that's valuable to them. It means something to them. Does this mean anything to you? Because if it does, you ought to be searching it. And when you search it and you find those truths, you ought to be practicing them. I hope tonight, reading this passage and sharing these few things with you, that your eyes are open to a little different truth. Love isn't a word. It's an action. It's easy to say, I love you. It's not so easy to show it. Jesus Christ showed His love for us when He bore our sins on the cross. And all the torture and all the abuse that He took leading up to that cross. And who did He do that for? For you and for me. Why? Because He said, I love you. And He proved it. He didn't just say it. He lived it. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our example. We are to follow Him. We are to pattern our lives after Him. Does that mean we ought to go buy a cross this week and prepare to be hung on it? No. No, that would be ludicrous. There is nowhere in the Bible that says that we ought to be dying on a cross. There's not. But you know what? We ought to be loving people because He loved us. Let's pray.